Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
We still have a rat problem, and there are less people that live here in the city. And Shannon walked up to our Amazon Fresh delivery yesterday, and she said, I'm getting Santos out of the car, and then I see a rat on our stoop circling our Amazon Fresh
stoop. No!
Yes.
It's Do you still have in the 1600s.
Well, you know what? It's in a town called Pleasanton, California. That creeps me out.
We have listeners there.
I'm sure we do.
I think that's been a city in the beginning.
Pleasanton, California.
Pleasanton, sure. Yeah. You know who lives there? Rod.
It's Rod from Pleasanton.
Yeah, it is.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages.
Lower.
Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. As I like to refer to it, a well-oiled machine with everybody caring. Hey, Jim, how are you? Jim McBride, Mr. Skin is with us right now. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
Doing great, Mike. Great to see you. It's been a while, man.
It has been a good long time. Jim, before we get going, let me just note to the staff. We'll be having a meeting after the show, guys. Something for all of you to look forward to. A really, really good one. Okay. Anyway, there is a... In a land long ago, far, far away, DJs all over the country used to have a man on their show all the time that was considered completely socially acceptable. And his name was Mr. Skin. And he went on with all the disc jockeys in America and talked about Skin in the movies. And the shows that Don and Mike did with Mr. Skin, if you went into a morning show today in 2020 and did that, probably would not, you'd probably be seeing a news report about the way we behaved with Mr. Skin. It's a different world we live in. So flash forward, we've known Jim for a long time, and suddenly there's an academic exercise out there with Skin, the history of nudity in the movies, because he is the executive producer of a movie that I think you're going to be seeing in film classes for a very, very long time. And this is a boy that took his childhood obsession and turned it into a career, and a lucrative career at that. Jim Skin, we always used to call you Jim Skin on the old show. Old habits die hard.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I am so sorry. But it's great to have you with us, Jim McBride. This is... I'm about, I would say, halfway through it, and it is truly, truly an interesting history of skin nudity in the movies, and here you are, like nothing you've ever done, right?
Yeah, I had never done, obviously, a documentary. I'm the executive producer of this, meaning put up the money, but hired an incredible team, a director, Danny Wolf, and I had some guys that used to write for me at Mr. Skin that I really trusted to help put this thing together. But the team is great. And Mike, I knew that they had never, in the 20 plus years I've been doing Mr. Skin, I've known that a documentary on this subject had never been done. The problem was I didn't know how to do it. You know, I didn't.
Right.
But as time went on, putting this team together really helped. And you guys know too, like documentaries are huge now. Last Dance, we probably all watched. I'll Be Gone in the Dark on HBO, Tiger King, whatever it is. Documentaries are really cool. But I got to say, what I didn't expect when we started working on this 2 years ago was the reviews that we would get. In fact, I never even in my head, having never done this, didn't even think about mainstream media reviewing this documentary. Never dawned on me. We've had great reviews in Variety, Hollywood Reporter, CNN, Yahoo. Mike, even AARP recommended this to all their, members. So my parents are like, what's this movie you're involved with? I'm like, all right, Ma, I'll tell you this story. But anyway, because I was I was so worried, and you kind of touched on this in my introduction, is in this day and age of the Me Too movement and cancel culture, to do a documentary on the history of nudity in film from Thomas Edison to today, even with the best intentions, which we did have, and we're very in tune with the Me Too movement and everything,
right,
it could easily look exploitive. It could easily piss people off in some way. But I got to say, reading the reviews, the thing I'm most proud about is that the reviewers are like, how the hell did they do this where, you know, there's like tons of nude scenes. It's a history of nudity, yet it doesn't seem exploitive. And to me, that's the key to this documentary. And it's also, you know, legitimate, informative, compelling. And like you said, it could even be taught in film school someday.
Well, what gets me early on, and as I said, I'm not all the way through it, but I have to say that a lot of this centers around groups that were formed for censorship. And I love the discussion of the pendulum swinging between with the morality people that going back and forth. And during conservative times, we have less nudity and then it swings back. But then you have the most fascinating part of the early part of this documentary is that you have this censorship board that is set up and has this spectacular language of restriction, and this will not be included, and this will not be included. And these people are paid by the studios, and they set this all up, and then bingo, they just do whatever they want anyway, because it's just a paper tiger. It's really not there to enforce anything and say you can't do this. I mean, really, this has been going on for a long time since film was created. I mean, we've had nudity in the movies.
Yeah, and I think one of the things when people watch this documentary, and again, I want to stress, it starts Thomas Edison and the invention of the motion picture camera all the way to the Me Too movement. So it's all the nudity, male and female, during that time. But
I have to correct you, Jim. I have to correct you. Thomas Edison really didn't invent it. He stole it. I got that from your documentary, Jim.
We talk about that. I didn't want to get into that. I meant from his era to this, but you're right. He did not invent that. Exactly. But what people that watch this documentary are learning, and most people didn't know, was how much nudity, debauchery, craziness were in movies pre-1934 when the Hays Code came out. I mean, we talk about Audrey Munson, this beautiful model and actress who in 1915 was nude in a movie called Purity. The very first movie that won an Oscar in 1927 when they started the Academy Awards was a movie called Wings. And Clara Bow, who was the most famous actress in the world, showed her breasts in that movie. And people don't realize that. Even Hedy Lamarr, we show her chasing a horse completely naked. By the way, Mike, the greatest nude while chasing a horse scene in movie history. So she is completely nude in 1932. And then, of course, the Hays Code, the Catholic League of Decency, and then what we all know is 1930s, 1940s, 1950s American cinema, as you guys all know, had no nudity. But before that, it was crazy. So that's an interesting part of the documentary for people. And we show all those rare nude scenes.
It really is. It's interesting the way it all falls out. And when you're talking about the nudity in cinema, and as I said, I have to be full disclosure, not to the end yet, but I think I've seen what I would consider the most voyeuristic element. Their films, basically, they made, I guess they might have been in the 40s or the 50s. I don't know when they were, but they basically film nudist colonies and listen, I speak as a disc jockey, as a shock jock from the 80s who did a live broadcast from a nudist facility. I am telling for you young boys out there right now, there is nothing more dull than a nudist colony nude.
Right.
It is like, it's literally, well, it's mostly outside. It's talking about watching paint dry. It is just, and then they needed something more. And they knew that early on when they were showing that it just didn't do anything for anybody just to sit there and put a camera on people walking around. I think you'd agree with this. There's such a wide variety of things that are interesting to look at and things that are just, well, it's nudity for nudity's sake. But it evolved so dramatically. And what got me was how it went back and forth, you know, where, oh, where, yeah, it's gone since the history of film. It's amazing.
Yeah. And you're talking about the era just before, this is like in the 50s. You're right.
Yeah. 50s,
where,
right,
it wasn't, you couldn't get it into an actual real movie. So right, these, and then the law changed where you wouldn't go to jail for putting a film together of just watching people at a nudist colony. So, you know, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have cell phones. You know, the only way, you know, a 20 something guy, 30 something, whatever, married man could go see nudity was go watch these stupid nudist colony movies. And that was the thing for a while. Like, also those things, if you remember, like our parents or my dad, you know, him and his guys back in the day would watch those 8mm horrible
stag
nudies
films.
Yeah, stag films, right. And we talk about that in the documentary. But yeah, that was what they had in the 50s. So it's part of the documentary as we lead into the 60s, 70s, and 80s and beyond.
We're talking to Jim McBride, and the movie is The History of Skin. Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies. You can get it everywhere. Amazon, it's out now. And you do touch on, and I haven't gotten there yet, but I know it says here that you do touch on gender bias. And that seems to me to be forever in the movies, where it's perfectly okay to see all of a woman, but really only recently have you seen more male nudity. Would that be accurate in film?
Yeah, definitely on the male, even though this documentary focuses on both, there's obviously way more female nudity in history than male nudity. But mm-hmm. I will say this, in present day America, we're like almost at the point where it's equal. In fact, like when I first started going on your show and started Mr. Skin, like way back in 99, there was only like 16 places we could get nudity from for our website on television. About 10 years later, there were 29 places. In 2019, there are 144 different shows that we could get nudity from because of all the different platforms with mm-hmm. Amazon and, right, and all that. But the big difference is it's almost equal amount of male nudity. Like, yeah, we all watch Game of Thrones, but do you remember there was a lot of male nudity in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
There's a ton of television that features male nudes. Nudity is not going away. In fact, we've never had more because of the advent of television, all the different platforms and stuff. So we're finally kind of caught up where you're probably just as likely to see a male nude as a female nude in television, especially today. It was not the case, obviously, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
And you parade, I mean, I'm just looking at the names on here that are in this documentary talking about skin, nudity in the movies. Peter Bogdanovich, you've got Pam Grier, Kevin Smith is in this, Sean Young. Sean Young, for a guy that grew up with cinema and with, you know, No Way Out, you know, before, I always thought Sean Young was, her scenes were always, she committed. And, and she was, but it was not, we're not talking about porn here. We're talking about just different levels of interest. Now, where do you see it? You had talked about, we've talked about it before. Right now, that's the land of freedom, seems to be all of the streaming services, the cable channels. That's where it exists now, right? Where I don't want to say anything goes, but it's much, has that been modified at all during recent times with the Me Too era that we're in right now?
Great question, because what we talk about, and you haven't got to this yet in the documentary being halfway through, but touching on the Me Too movement, one of the things that's come out of this is they have these things called intimacy coordinators now on the sets of movies and television shows. So the director, actress, they agree on they're going to be doing a sex scene or a nude scene, but there's an intimacy coordinator on the set today, since the Me Too movement, that makes sure that the director follows what he's supposed to do, that they don't throw in this extra, you know, we want you to do this new thing that we didn't discuss before. And there, and it's someone you have on set that, you know, you could confide in or whatever. Big contrast to the actresses we speak to, like Linda Blair, who did Chained Heat, Erica Gavin, who was in Russ Meyer movies in the 70s, Pam Grier, Diane Franklin, who was in Last American Virgin in the 80s. Their experience on the set, they didn't have an intimacy coordinator. They'd, you know, they'd be on set and the director would say, hey, we need two more nude scenes, and they kind of have to do them. That's the one of the good things that's come out of all of this, is the fact that listen, it's not that there's less nudity. In fact, there's more nudity. It's just that actresses now are more empowered. It's a choice that they make. So if they do a nude scene, they feel good about it versus feel like, oh man, I wasn't supposed to do that. Should I have done it? You know, and it's a great thing that's happened. And it's, you'll see this as you get towards the end of the documentary. It's a great thing that's happened. And because who, you don't want actresses doing these scenes not wanting to do them or feeling that they're forced to do them. And it's quite the opposite today.
Well, one of the great things about the Me Too era is that you, I think it makes all of us so much more aware, even as you're talking about it, of how that would feel when you're going back to those years of making those movies, when you're an actress and you go into the set, you go onto the set and you know you're going to do a certain scene. And then you get a director who knows, because he's been around the block and he knows how he can push the envelope. And feeling the pressure to do that because you're working with this director had to be horrible. I mean, I know it sounds initially when you hear intimacy coordinator, but how wonderful a step that is for women that are in these movies. Now, you know, because I think, wouldn't you agree, a lawyer can do so much in a contract, but then when they're on set and they're shooting, that's when the director has his entree into, you know, sneaking out a little bit more out of these actresses.
100%. And it happens, it has been happening all the time. And because of these intimacy coordinators and just a different attitude today, it's happening less and less, which is a good thing. You know, it's funny, we interviewed Martha Coolidge, who did was the director for Last American, the director for Valley Girl. And she was saying that she had, I think, two nude scenes set for her script. And then the producers were like, listen, we need two more nude scenes because we got to sell this thing, you know, in Europe. This is in the 1980s. And it was just, it was almost like a formula. You need that's why so many of those teen sex comedies from 1980 to 1985 had so many nude scenes, is they needed to make money on those movies. And nudity got people into the theaters pre-internet, right? That's how it was. So
yeah. I wonder sometimes if Phoebe Cates goes back and reflects on her career where the pool scene. I mean, every time you hear anything about nudity in the movies, you have that. But the movie that jumps out at me, and I think it's, you'll know. By the way, Jim has the encyclopedic knowledge. It's all in the inner government. There are no books in front of him. He's got it all up here, ladies and gentlemen. Caligula was an island unto itself. I remember it showed at a theater in DC called the Biograph down in Georgetown for years. I'm talking years. Do you spend time? I know you interview Malcolm McDowell. Do you spend a lot of time on Caligula, which to this day is an amazing movie to look at? It really is.
We do a big thing on Caligula in this because, think of this about Caligula. And by the way, Malcolm McDowell, of all the talking heads we had, he was, to me, the best, because he's just such an interesting guy. I mean, he was in Clockwork Orange. He was in Caligula. Yeah, but for the younger people out there that might not know this movie, imagine a movie with John Gielgud, Peter O'Toole, Helen Mirren, Malcolm McDowell, that was a porn movie with real porn activities going on. It blows your mind.
It is. Absolutely incredible. I see. So is this, as far as when you set out to do this, was the thought in there, I've always been known as this Mr. Skin guy, and I'm going to bet this is going to, you know, did you think in terms of that? Because it is a legitimate documentary film. Yeah. You could show this in a film school. Was that your goal when you set out to make kind of an academic exercise?
Yeah. Well, it's different when I'm doing my website, which I've been doing for 21 years now. There's a different attitude. It's we're trying to be funny. And it's a different audience. When I did this, we were trying to make a mainstream documentary on something that I'm very passionate about. I knew I couldn't go in and do like, oh, and here are the best side bush shots in the history of movies. You know, I'm not stupid, you know, so you can see the best side bush shots at MrSkin.com, but this is always
promoting, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
Yeah, it's just like, listen, if you're going to do a documentary that you want men, women, film schools, critics, the whole thing, you got to do it the right way. But I don't want people to think this is boring. I mean, it has over 100 nude scenes in it.
Oh, and, it's not. I mean,
it's
not
boring. Fascinating. No. It's a fascinating thing. Yeah,
it is an academic
exercise.
Even without
side push shots, it's still.
It's not.
He keeps saying it.
I'm watching Hedy Lamarr chase the horse through the woods. I'm sorry, but Rob, I know what's interesting about this show that we do now with the old man here. Then we got Rob Spiewak, a little younger than me. We got Oscar Santana, a little younger than me. I'm curious on you guys, on Rob and Oscar, your perspective and what you would, because I mean I've been dealing with Jim for a very, very long time.
Yes,
but I'm curious what you guys think.
I discovered
about this.
The website through the Don and Mike show where I was like, oh, now I gotta subscribe.
You're welcome,
to this
Jim.
Guy.
Yes, exactly.
And it was a go-to if you wanted to find some information
right.
for research for your radio show, during your radio show, you would go to MrSkin.com right away and pull up.
It remains a valuable resource.
It was the IMDb for Guy Talk Radio.
Yes.
Before IMDb was IMDb. I mean, you would just absolutely. Go there first, yeah. and then you'd mm-hmm. think about looking at the other films. And then mm-hmm. as the genre evolved, and this is something maybe you touch on your documentary or maybe you can speak about now, is there is a place for your website within this ecosphere of, get everything you want on demand.
Yeah.
Jim, but what does it look like now in 2020 compared to, let's say, even 10 years ago?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's never been more television shows and movies that have nudity. So as much as you guys love your nude scenes and love your television and love your movies, you can't watch all that stuff. It's impossible.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And I have a team, 10 people whose full-time job that work for me is to go through every movie and television show and chronicle and review and rate all the nudity. So
dream jobs.
If you're a fan of this or if this is something you're interested in, what my website does, there's never been more of a need because there's so much stuff now. If you want to keep up on all this stuff, that's what the website's for. And I get it. It's not for everyone. But
do you still have the nickname? Do you still have the nickname for your employees? What do you call them?
Skimploys? Skimploys? Yeah, Skinterns. Yes.
Skinterns.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah, of course. And it's actually a really fun place to work. When I started this, it was me and one tech guy. And today I have over 40 Skimploys. And
wow.
I never thought when I started, I truly had no idea I'd still be doing this 21 years later. But we, as you can see, when you go to our website, we do it right. It's done well. It's technically savvy. It's well written. Fat shame actresses are snarky. We're like happy if whoever it is, if they do a nude scene, we're celebrating
guy or girl.
It. And it's,
yeah.
Well, I have a website, MrMan.com, which we started in 2014, which is the male version mm-hmm. of Mr. Skin. But Mr. Skin is female nudity, but MrMan.com is male nudity.
I'll be passing that along to my wife. Rob, I know you wanted to ask Jim something before we let him go.
Yeah, Jim, I know you always keep current and you say now there's more nudity than ever, but would you say, especially now that you've looked back and looked at the entire history of cinema, was there a golden era of nudity on film? And if so, what kicked it off?
Yeah, I would say to me personally, the teen sex comedies from 1980 to 1985, when you had like Fast Times, Porky's, Last American Virgin, My Tutor. For a guy my age who got cable television right when that all hit, and all those shows, to me, that's the golden age. Because then, like, John Hughes came with all his movies, Breakfast Club and all that. And
more wholesome.
Yeah, they were much more wholesome, and it was okay from 1980 to 85 to do great movies that were funny and well-written, but also had great nudity. That changed, and all the way until American Pie with Shannon Elizabeth, who we interviewed for this documentary
and talk about that.
Because that was where it kind of came back a little for a couple years, but that 1980 to 1985 you guys probably know most of the movies I'm talking about or saw them on cable TV through the years. Those are movies that guys that grew up in my era just absolutely love and always will.
Well, it's really terrific. And I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this Skin, a History of Nudity in the Movies. You can get it everywhere, Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, Fandango. It's really a wonderful effort.
Thank you.
Nice work with this. And by the time you finish this documentary, you will know everything about nudity in the movies and the way it happened, and continue running that empire, you know. And if you can, if you can think about low level podcasters and reactivate a code or something for Mr. Pratt, that would be appreciated.
It's a big honor because man, I was going on your show weekly, and then Janet Jackson came, and then all of a sudden I had to leave your show.
It was all over after that in more ways than you know. Lots of lawyers meetings. Jim McBride, thank you very much, and good luck with the documentary.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Fantastic. Let's start the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
You know, when you have kids, I think you're going to find that all kids are different, eh?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. For example, Minnie Me loves chocolate. Scotty don't.
What? I like chocolate fine.
Scotty don't.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was very familiar. Hang on, let me do what I do. Would you stop?
How about you, Owen?
How about a what?
How about you, Owen?
What do you...
How about you, Owen?
I don't even...
How about you, Owen?
Honestly, isn't this...
How about you don't, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty do?
Dr. Evil.
Yo.
What does Gold Member's plan have to do with us?
Our early attempts at a tractor beam went through several preparations. Preparations A through G were a complete failure. But now, ladies and gentlemen, we finally have a working tractor beam, which we shall call Preparation H. What?
Why don't you just call it Operation Ass Cream, you ass?
I'm sorry, did you want some ice cream?
Yes, I'd love some chocolate ass cream.
Perhaps later.
Dr. Evil, I love your plan.
Yeah, eh?
Yeah, Herr Doctor, it's a really good plan.
Yes, Frau, on the whole, I think Preparation H feels good. What is it now?
No, nothing. You know what? I agree. Preparation H does feel good, on the whole.
Well, I'm glad we're spreckensy the same lingity. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, using my time machine, I shall travel back to 1975, pick up Goldmember and bring him back to the future. And the best part of this plan is, no one can stop me. Not even Austin Powers.
Not so fast. You're surrounded, Dr. Evil.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. We are heard all over the joint from Altrap, Virginia to Sao Paulo, Brazil, Columbia, South Carolina, Tunis Mills, Maryland, Stockdale Country Club Estates. Welcome to Stockdale Country Club Estates, Bakersfield, California, Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by... our fruitcakes.
Ooh.
Everything just seems so depressing right now. Sad. The liquor store guy has to scan your Tito's through plexiglass. Hand sanitizer reminds you of paper cuts that you didn't even know you had. And for the first time, you have to wear a mask before you go into the Halloween store. Am I right, ladies?
Oh, no.
No respect. Don't you crave a bit of normalcy? Something that'll bring you back to how it was before all this? Well, I've got good news for you. And the news tastes delicious! TMOS Fruitcake Futures will take you back to the good old days. Jump aboard the Black Walnut Bullet Train and let your taste buds transport you to happier times. One bite, and these fruitcakes will remind you of a time when everything was right with the world. TMOS Fruitcake Futures. Buy now, save or late or... You'll be praising every raisin. They taste even better.
What's
Might
that?
Want to keep that one in there. You'll be praising every raisin. They taste even better than you remember them. Go to our website and buy as many as you like. Time is limited. You'll get them in time for the holidays. MikeOmarishow.com. That's where you go. Nice little banner there.
Yes, play it.
And it's fantastic. Every purchase supports TMOS. Gary Krimble. All right. Welcome to F Up Central, ladies and gentlemen.
Are we
recording? Are we recording the show now? Let me just make sure we are. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Is the show recording right now?
It should say that on your screen as well.
Oh, good. Yes. Very good. I'm very, very excited.
I see
that.
Yes.
All right. I mean, to be honest with you, that is a voice from the past when I talk about Jim McBride, because he is he was such a part of Hot Talk Radio.
He was a weekly guest. We had him every Friday.
He was a weekly guest.
I literally discovered him on your show.
It was so different. The only thing you got from him that was a throwback to the old days was a little side bush.
Yeah.
Where he talked about that. But this movie, I didn't want to tell him this because then we'd get yucking and I wanted him to get all of his important points out. It was, for me, a truly academic exercise. I'm fascinated by the way censorship works. I'm fascinated with how some of these guys were on the payroll and they came up with these boards to keep everybody happy, but then the movie producers did whatever they wanted. And then I also realized myself that even with an academic appreciation of this nudity, skin, a history of nudity in the movies, I still was that 17-year-old kid,
sure,
that 15-year-old kid that every single time I was waiting for the 1800s movie. I was interested in the 1920s movie. And I don't know if that's because of American culture and the way the woman's body and nudity in general is just such a forbidden fruit, and that when we get to a chance to look at that, even today, with all of the sources of nudity and sex and online, watching that documentary, I was intellectualizing it, but I was also saying, boobies. No. I couldn't help myself, you know?
Well, and it's a great topic. I'm curious, because you watched the first part of it. Did they get into the fact of what a sham the whole Hayes Commission was, and that he was a postmaster,
just at the beginning? Yeah, he was.
They got a guy to be a figurehead that knew nothing about movies.
And he was sitting there being very, we are going to make sure that this, when they were going to do whatever they wanted anyway. But not whatever they wanted, because this was for,
they
by and large, mass consumption. So you couldn't do the rest. And then I meant it when I said this.
It's already been done, Joan.
It's done. Your stuff's in the car, Joan. You'll do a scene in the pool, and you'll be fine. But it really, for me, was a throwback to when we were always trying to titillate the audience, and it's and I'm embarrassed when I look back on that. But it's what everybody did, and we would sit there. And one of the things we did was, I knew early on when we would have nudists of any kind.
Yep.
In the studio, strip trivia was an exception because strip trivia everybody did, and so occasionally with
strip
trivia,
a game attached to it. I mean, it had a little bit of oomph to it.
But we were little naughty boys, you know, and we would always say, this is going to be a good one today.
It was a different era.
Totally
then.
Different
era.
And
is it any more embarrassing to interview a nudist than it is to have a snare drum in the studio? I mean, it's just, you've gone through different machinations of your career. You look back, you're never proud of it.
Now I have to be careful when I say this.
Okay.
But I can only say, but it's for men and women, so it's not sexist. This is nudists by and large. And if I'm offending any card carrying, it's hard to carry that card. I want to tell you. nudists out there. It was always a massive, crushing disappointment because as a non-nudist, we believed that it was, we were going to go down there and you were going to see models running around. Nothing could be further from the truth. It was a lifestyle where people just like to roll around without clothes. I'm sure that some of the
guys, it all looks like Real Sex 28. It is very droopy, gross people. Yeah.
I mean, if I want to see someone else naked outside of my betrothed, why would I? Absolutely.
Exactly.
But I want the gold standard. That's why these women are in these films. Right?
I like how he said the heyday almost came back with American Pie.
Yeah.
Because I remember American Pie, and it was, even for my age, because it was really my generation for that time, where you're like, oh my God, this guy's actually doing that to that pie.
Yeah.
And it just became like synonymous with these, I would say, going away to college movies, right?
Yeah.
That were rated R. Rated R comedies that had this.
But what you remember, of course, is the pie scene.
Yeah.
And in my era of 1981, when I was a baby DJ, and I'm watching Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Larry Wax, who went on to do a morning show in Atlanta, and we're sitting down there at the Glen Burnie, whatever the cinema was down there, and we're watching this, and Phoebe Cates comes out of the pool.
Yeah.
And I would imagine Phoebe Cates rolls her eyes to this day and just sees that and
she
says,
would so much rather discuss Drop Dead Fred.
It's but it's what you remember.
40 and employees then, means he's still like booming in business.
And I remember, I worried that maybe Judge Reinhold after that, was trying to get cast in films and that career never really took off.
Judge Reinhold. So think about it. He actually had a career, Mike. He was in Vice Versa with Fred Savage. He was also in Beverly Hills Cop.
Right.
So he was in Beverly Hills. That's what I remember, Beverly Hills Cop after that. But yeah. I'm just talking about, when you consider, I'm trying to think
for of guys, it would have been different. It was unfortunately different for guys. You're like, you're the pirate in the bathroom. You pervert. Right.
Well, the biggest star to come out of the movie had nothing to do with nudity, and that was Sean Penn.
Oh, my God.
Sean Penn came out of Fast Times and became, an iconic actor.
Don't you
and,
feel like Sean Penn?
Jennifer Jason Leigh was the second biggest star to come out of Fast Times, right?
Jennifer Jason Leigh, still a working actress.
And has made Misery, great movies.
Backdraft.
I mean, really, Backdraft. Yeah. I mean, she has been in. But it's just when you look back on it and you watch this, it really is. I don't know if it's the American way. We have always in this country been a little obsessed with sex and bodies and nudities. And, we've always been told that they're more relaxed about things like that in Europe.
And Latin America as well.
Yeah, maybe I think it's in Latin America, they're more relaxed about it.
Some of the best trips to Bolivia, were when my parents would leave, and my brother and I, and we'd just be watching TV, my brother and I, my sister was like living her life, so my brother would be like, let's see what's on TV.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, this lady is doing her laundry, it looks like, in the soap opera and she seems to be T-O-P-L-E-S-S, topless. Must be hot in that part of Bolivia that they're filming.
Well, no, it's like that guy who was at the drive-thru yesterday. All of her clothes were dirty, so she didn't have a shirt to wear.
Well, it's that is a blast from the past to see him.
Nice guy.
He looks the same.
He's been doing it for a million years. We're going to take a break on the Mike O'Mara Show when we come back. You know what? I got to give you the review of day two. If I gave you all the good stuff from day one of virtual learning, I have to give you the same review of the not quite the great day of virtual learning. Yeah. Yeah, it took him one day. Who had one day that he'd get bored? We'll come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Good morning, suckers. It's me, your commander in chief.
Oh, he's back.
I mean, chief. Words have power. Big, beautiful power. Here are a few of my favorites. Banana, nipple, investigation, Deucey, tomahawk missile, slide, trolls, earwax, milk dud, leaky, plague, Falwell, gluten, moat, splurge, naughty, Frito pie, and magna cum laude. Heed my warning. If you don't like these words, I promise you 4 more years of other bad, frightening words. Your vocabulary will be chaos. Use words. Use good words. Use best words. Just like my frightened wife. Thank you. And my God bless the United States of me.
She's horrified.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. United States of me. With summertime officially coming to an end, we've all got fall on the brain. What were your favorite autumn childhood memories? Football, back to school, jack-o'-lanterns, or jack-o'-lanterns? Are these moments still trapped on outdated videotapes, film reels, or slides? Ugh, slides.
Hate slides!
Being able to preserve and relive those memories is exactly what Legacy Box was created to do. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all your videotapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. It's so easy. You pack and send. Legacy Box converts everything by hand, and then you enjoy for generations to come. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos, and has helped over 850,000 families preserve their past, including the O'Meara's, Spiewak's, and Santana's. Get started preserving your past today with the Legacy Box Labor Day sale. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to get 50% off your first order. Order today and just send it in when you're ready. This exclusive offer won't last long. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and save 50% while supplies last. All right, I'll be honest with you. It is it is Wednesday. It feels like I'm in the middle of the second week. It is it's a different world
this
with virtual learning.
This surprises me. He had such a great, a legendary first day.
He, on his first day, went into the room, his bedroom. We have moved him over to the guest room and set up a nice desk for him. He's got a really cool workstation, super cheap, you know, got like a card table, put it down there with his little Chromebook. And he was in his room the first day. When he would break, he'd come out for free time and lunch.
Like a parent working from home in their office.
It was almost like, look, we have to be on campus, obviously.
Right.
But he did great. Yesterday, the big debacle, I might have mentioned it on the show, was when he was having trouble with the launch pad. I don't know a Chromebook at all, and I didn't know what to do with that. And I'm not sure that I was alone, because there were a lot of parents leaning in on the Zoom call, just trying to figure this out. So we had that in the morning, but that was a technical issue.
Yeah.
At the end, maybe four times, he pokes his beautiful little head out of the door and says, "When's it over? When's it over?"
So, God damn.
Who had 24 hours?
I've got
an
answer, Mike.
Yes.
When you pay for the mortgage.
Yeah, that doesn't resonate. Well,
you tend to use that with your wife as well.
My dad used to do that. He used to literally say, because you pay for the mortgage, you don't have to do this.
And I was like, I believe we are fortunate with the teacher that she has been in the game a longer time. She's not a young teacher. She's a teacher of 27 years. And
Mrs. Gulch?
I think she has the ability to engage.
She's probably happy everything's virtual.
Well, I think so. But she's working from school. I believe
she's
working from school.
She's not going to die.
Well, who knows? You know, I mean, it's a new rule every single day. But he's there, and he seems to be doing well with it. And
how many kids in his class? So, like, how many Zoom windows are open on his computer? Is it like a ridiculous amount?
It is a large number. I'm not sure. I can't give you the exact number because I don't know, but it is a larger number that's going on.
Who's on
right
call
now
during the day? Because when I saw my little nephew doing his tutoring sessions, my sister-in-law came to both Shannon and I and said, "Look, it's just for 2 hours. Please, if you can, don't walk through the kitchen, because as soon as he gets distracted, he's three. He'll be like, 'Oh, what are you doing?' Because he wants to get out of this lesson."
Right.
And I was like,
that's why we put him in a room with the door shut.
Which is great, right?
Yeah, that's
but
the way
it's hard. Someone
who's the go-to parent if there's a problem?
Someone has to be the heavy. Get back in there and learn.
As far as monitoring, you know, somebody's got to be here, just here.
The warden.
You don't have to do anything. But I'm watching. My mistake was, after the show yesterday, Carla, did she go out? She was either working in the house or had to run out and do something. All I know is I was on campus.
Right.
And I decided to grab myself a little L-U-N-C-H, little lunch for the effort. And I put on the Turner Classic Movies while I'm eating my lunch, and there's a Little Rascals film that's on when I'm sitting
short
down there.
What was the plot of the short?
I didn't get into it. But there was Spanky and Alfalfa, and
so
he comes
great
out and he says, "Dan, how much longer before?" And I said, "You have to get back in there. Go back in there right now." And he starts to walk back, and then he's got Little Rascals, and he freezes.
Sure.
And he turns to me with a big grin on his face. You know, erase that knowledge. Erase that. Here's virtual learning right now. Erase that knowledge. You know, Daddy watching 1930s child
Are you
child,
watching Little
movies.
Rascals, Dad?
I love that you put him in his own room, because Julia, she has taken over for her learning center. Carrie has a desk in our kitchen that's like an extension of the counter.
The built-in.
Yeah, the built-in. Yeah. It's the only one on the block. It was the only one who had it. But I said to Julia, you're doing good? And she said, yeah, I'm in class. I said, okay, I'll be quiet. And I just watch her just really quickly mute, zip over to the fridge, grab another something, and go back. She loves being in the kitchen for snacking during class. That's her greatest convenience, is she's actually...
Well, the apple
feet.
Doesn't fall far from the tree.
I know. That's right. Set up, too. I got a fridge down here.
That's good. Yeah, but you can't do what we do for a living and snack. You can't work and snack.
No.
Oscar does. I mean, Oscar can pull it off.
Rarely, though.
But you do.
I've got a bagel staring at me right now that I haven't touched because I don't want to be disrespectful to the broadcast.
Well, you know what? I'd rather have you eat the bagel and show up 15 minutes early.
I agree.
That's what I'd rather have.
I agree.
Eat a bagel during the show open, I remember.
Didn't he power eat a bagel back in the old days?
When I wasn't in charge of all of this because I was in the corner, don't put baby in the corner, and right. I could get away with it. But now I can't. There's too much going on.
And well, I don't think you should wrap a bagel in foil. I don't think that's the proper wrap.
Well, he didn't wrap it, right? You wrap that in foil? Did you buy it?
Oh, no. My wife made it in the morning and brings it to me and delivers it to me with a coffee and a water.
Does it have cream cheese on it?
Yes, it does.
Mm.
Yeah,
is a regular bagel.
It's a regular bagel. It's actually just a quick sidebar. Amazon Fresh, Mike. We've talked about this in the past.
Sure,
your groceries to home. Pro tip for those who live in the DC area: we still have a rat problem, and there are less people that live here in the city. And Shannon walked up to our Amazon Fresh delivery yesterday, and she said, I'm getting Santos out of the car, and then I see a rat on our stoop circling our Amazon Fresh stoop.
No!
Yes.
Do you still have the 1600s?
You had the massive rat problem. You probably have to revisit that again, right?
So the splinter, the master rat, decided to. So she said, I walked up, and Santos was barking to try to scare away the rat because he saw the rat.
Out.
Yeah, I'd hate it.
And she said, when she opened up the bag, one of the rat, Splinter, the rat from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, had gotten into one of the bagel packs and eaten two of the bagels. So all day he was just chilling, running into the bag, out of the bag. But he didn't get to, I said,
well,
did
she just leave the bag on the stoop or something?
No, so when Amazon Fresh delivers to you, they just leave it all in the stoop, all the groceries. They just knock the door.
It's
leave
probably
it there.
Difficult to do, or they got to work on their packaging or something.
So
like
this
that.
Is what she said. She goes, these rat bastards, Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world. They used to have thick bags. Then they got popular. They went to thin bags. And I said, did you write the company? And she goes, what, and get the 350 back? I said, you better get the 350 back.
Oscar, it's not going to make any difference. I mailed a fruitcake a couple years ago to a friend in Alexandria,
mm-hmm.
also in an older neighborhood, thin spite-like houses
yes.
like yours. They left the package. It was in a box. The fruitcake was in a box, wrapped in saran wrap within the box, mm-hmm. with packaging around it.
Our packaging is fabulous for the fruit.
The
fruitcakes have
corrugated.
Corrugated.
Yes.
And he got home. The fruitcake was gone.
Wait a minute.
The fruitcake comes in a foil tin.
Yeah. Well,
you've got triple. The rat got through that.
Yeah. He did not eat the foil, but he did penetrate the foil and ate the entire fruitcake.
We're going to tin. They can't get through tin.
A lead box.
So think about it. Hold on a second.
Yes.
We have to spotlight this.
Okay.
A plastic bag with a rat is, to me, just the initiative of that creeps me out.
Sure.
When you talk about our fruitcake, which I have opened up, you were talking about the thickness of our cardboard on the outside. You could stop a bullet. You're telling me a rat can not only smell the fact that there is food in there, but then burrow right through?
And he also stole this guy's identity.
I urge everybody to go to MikeOMaraShow.com and order your fruitcake today.
Please.
Fruitcake futures on sale right now. That's how well. No, really. I'm proud.
We only had one complaint about. Well, it wasn't even a complaint. It was the guy was laughing, and we're like, "Hey, we're going to send you another one just because you said something about this. We're going to take care of you." But
the bagel you're eating today, was that next to one of the rat tasted bagels?
Yeah, the bubonic plague bagels.
It's an everything bubonic bagel.
I didn't put everything together until we just started talking about the bagel. I'm assuming that she threw that bag away as I asked her to, and she was is not so cheap that she kept the ones that looked untouched.
Oh my god!
So enjoy your Jim Elliot bagel
for you city dwellers.
On top of the trash.
There are less people. The rats are a lot more bold these days.
Yes.
Oh, that is so terrifying. That is horrible. We got to take a break when we come back. All right, we got a palate cleanser. We're gonna go from food to medicine. I'm going to regret talking about this, but I want to.
Oh,
God.
That's a good setup.
I'm going to really decide whether I want to talk about it or not.
All right.
It's on my mind. And then I'm going to get people emailing me. We'll take a break. We will come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Fathers, podcasters, get set for real gonad crushing action this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Big Capital Center. It's the TMOS Hot Rod Thrill-tacular. New for 2020. Rookie champion Michael William O'Mara behind the wheel of the V8 Supercharged Ball Crusher McGee truck.
Ball Crusher McGee.
He's the killer to your dong pillow. Put the slap tag on your yam bag. It's a slobber knocker in your sleep number. Sack stopping, testicle tearing, gonad annihilating action.
Bonus.
Get more ball breaking action every week with the TMOS Bonus Show subscription. Subscribe today and don't be cruel to the family jewel.
Quit sucking.
Ball Crusher McGee.
By the way, the bonus show this week is the virtual cocktail party. We're going to start two shows for you at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Be aware of that, so it's going to be another fabulous Friday night. And back down here in Florida, it feels like everything feels right with the world. Like we're going to be back where we all need to be. It's going to be
rowdy. Have you chosen your poison yet?
I bought a lot of wine yesterday.
Ooh.
I bought a lot of wine, so I'm not sure. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Ring. There are 1,000 reasons why protecting your home is important. For me, it's my family and my overall peace of mind. I don't want to be worried about solicitors, trespassers, burglars, and the worst, loiterers.
I hate them.
Ring has security products for every corner of your home. It's such a superior product. You know, I really think that there are a lot of people out there that do this. I don't even know if Ring wants me to say this, because a lot of these clients are really into emphasizing the positive of their product, but I have to compare because I have used other products in the past, and I don't think anything compares to the technology of Ring. I think they're faster. I think they're sharper. I think their cameras are better. If someone stops by and you have the Ring doorbell, you see what's going on. Protect your whole home because they've got a Ring alarm system, an affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. You keep an eye on everything. I really, really love being associated with this company, and I'm proud of the fact that we're letting you know about Ring products. Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/TMOS. The Welcome Kit has the Ring Video Doorbell 3 and Chime Pro. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. Plus, free 2-day shipping. Go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS.
Did you make a decision?
Oh, boy. Before I say this, I don't want anybody sending me doom and gloom. You know, you're dying and stuff like that. But it's no secret that when people age, that the plumbing gets slows down a little bit. That things, I guess, I'll use a Bill O'Reilly voice, narrow, and you know, and so let's just say this: my streaming video could be a little faster. That's the way I would describe it.
So you used to have fiber, no pun intended.
I used to have fiber optics, and now I don't. And yes, streaming. Thank you very much. And my streaming, and by the way, it's not just, it's everything. It's everything down there.
Okay.
You know, could be a little more free-flowing. So a commercial comes on.
Oh, Flomax.
A commercial comes on. The commercial is, I think it's called Eurolift, and it's not European. It's like Eurolift.
Must be a Florida buy. I don't see that up here in DC.
Well, it might be. It might very well. First of all, I listen to, CNN in the car with the satellite people, and sure. I think they target me. On those ads, so maybe, but you know,
you don't think a lot of young people are listening to CNN in the car?
I guess. Well, I'm a news junkie. So you know that.
Well, I mean, but it's the same junkie. When I watch my black and white TV from the 1950s. Yeah. It's all about, do you want a cell phone with big buttons and not have someone steal your identity?
Same commercials on 60s on six.
Now, I don't. I have to say this. That first of all, I don't think this is necessarily all for me. All right. I don't think it's for that this thing they were selling. But when they say no surgery, you know, and it's something that could work, you know, I get a lot of the old fart commercials down here.
Well, I think the majority of Florida does. If you're an ad buyer smart enough, they're gonna be like, all right, what's the demo we're going after? This is what we're gonna do.
Yeah. Right. Right.
It's a combo buy of Euroflow and Jitterbug.
I haven't been to the doctor since my physical prior to the COVID. So I haven't been there.
But in fairness, you go to the doctor more than most. So I would say out of all of us, you're probably the most up to date.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably should have done my research on this prior to coming on the show to talk about it, because now everybody's going to talk about it. You know, Mike, before you do that, my friend did it, and he's now got a hole in his thigh. I don't want any of that crap.
Is it a procedure?
Or is it a medication? A
procedure. Ooh, right. Non-invasive.
I'm reading who is a good candidate.
Non-invasive.
Maybe a good candidate if you're a male, 45 years older, have symptoms relating. Speak with your urologist. I don't have a urologist. So I guess I have to get one. I don't have that.
Oh, they're not pleasant, Mike. I've been.
You've been to one?
Yeah, it's always great because if you get one with personality and he's just, you know, juggling your balls and talking to you about life, it's really awkward because you're like, all right, man, I don't know. You're probably used to this, but not me.
Yeah, this is not the 10th time I've done this today.
This is freaking me out.
How's the lead in your
pencil, son? If you have a known allergy to nickel, titanium, or stainless steel, talk to your doctor about your allergy before gay. What did they put? Are they putting a pipe down
there? Is
it
sexual or more kind of?
I don't know.
Actually, Mike, they're going to give you 30 cents in nickels.
Lots of questions which I will not be reading.
An administrative procedure?
Yes. Is the treatment permanent or can it be removed? They're putting a pole down my thingy. Not going to do that.
I'm reminded, Mike, do you remember many years ago, and I think we talked about it on the show, Lyle Waggoner did an infomercial for impotence, and it was pretty graphic. And it also, I believe, it might have involved some sort of inflation device.
I'm not doing this. By the way, I know what the delivery device is now.
What is it?
Not going to happen. They're putting something in there.
Oh, dear.
I don't need that. That's not happening to me. It's not that bad.
I mean,
bad.
You have two new hips. What stops you?
I don't want more titanium in my body.
It's not like you have to explain it at the TSA, but like, I got this thing, two hips.
For the love of God, aging stinks. What's the problem, though?
Is it for the behind or up front?
It's not from the behind. It's not that, but it's the front.
There's a lack of urgency in the delivery.
Okay. That's what I was trying to figure out.
On both deliveries.
Yeah.
But the front door, you're saying.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
It's your favorite subject to talk about when we talk about
sex. I wasn't
going to
touch it. I just know what Mike's. Delivers. I know that Mike's key complaint when we go to a hotel is when the shower has bad pressure. I could barely rinse off.
That's the end of that. That's all. I got through it. I got through it. But no, not this. This ain't happening. I thought it was something where they wrote a rooter.
You should probably talk to Carla about it.
Oh, that would even be worse.
Carla gets grossed out when I talk to her about it. So
Wants it to work, Mike.
That's it. Well, it does work.
Whoa.
You know.
Whoa.
It works.
Sorry.
It just doesn't work the way I want it to work. That's all. I mean, I'm not the first 61-year-old that's felt that way. And by the way, I still consider myself a very, virile.
What was that line from Cocoon?
Cat couldn't scratch it. Blue Steel.
Streaming.
You too? You too? You got a boner too?
You got nickel too?
You got nickel? You got the titanium insert too? Oh, wow. That's right. So, anyway. You know what? It's in a town called Pleasanton, California. That creeps me out.
We have listeners there.
I'm sure we do.
I think that's been a city in the beginning.
Pleasanton, California.
Pleasanton, sure. Yeah. You know who lives there? Rod.
Rod from Pleasanton.
Yeah, it is.
So 925 area code. Do you recognize that one? 925 at all? You've sent
Northern California, I think. Yeah. I believe that's Northern California.
Oh, you know what I'm going to go to before we get off this? Pardon the pun. I'm going to go to success stories. All right, hold on.
Success?
Yeah, they have success stories.
Who in the right mind's like, I'll take the free ride, put my picture on the website?
Look for any disc jockeys.
Oh, there's video success stories. We don't need that.
The fireman who got the caps on his teeth, right? That guy got it for free.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he's like,
I don't know if I'm a candidate for it, though. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I like that you've embraced modern medicine, that if something's off, it may mean a procedure.
I will tell you this. After getting my bionic hips done down here, my quality of life dramatically improved. Dramatically improved. I mean, I am a walking, talking testament to medical science that, you know, those little fake hips they put in there, it's great. I'm a better golfer than I was before. Happy, happy, happy. You know, now they can just make, that magic pill that you take for all. I'll be fine. You know, that's all right. That's it. I'm done.
Really
talking
sorry
about
your nickel allergy, though.
That would help too. And by the way, I'm down 2 pounds since I got back from Florida.
Excellent. Right.
There you go. That's 2 deck chairs off the largest cruise ship in the world.
The what?
Right. Not in the world.
The world.
Yeah, we'll take a break. News you may not need coming up next on the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm a hot mess.
Two days left till Friday, drinking laughter, jokes and glasses clinking. After that, yeah, we'll be stinking. Only got 2 days more. Only got 2 days more.
Hello. Can you believe it? Only 2 more days until the next Mike O'Mara Show cocktail party.
This Friday at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Time's a fleeting.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our friends at Cornerstone. If your mortgage is 3.25% or higher, you need to call my friend Mark Livingstone now at Cornerstone First Financial. You need to do it today. Right now, 90% of homeowners have rates higher than the average going interest rate. Cornerstone First Financial's rates are so low that they've actually become a disruptor in the industry because their rates, service, and programs are unparalleled. Mm. Their low rate guarantee and the fact that they are both a lender and a broker allows them to have the flexibility to approve loans that the big banks can't. Interest rates on the 30-year fixed have fallen into the twos for the first time ever. You don't know how long it's going to last. You need to call Mark right now, Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Think of this, at this level, you'll likely never need to refi again. So whether it's a purchase or a refinance, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. They are good guys. You're going to like them. We like them. Rob likes them. Oscar Love likes them because we've all used them. Cornerstone. Cornerstone. I can't believe I did that. Well, I just erased my thing.
No,
put
it in post.
Yeah. Do you have it by any chance, Rob?
I do. Give me 1 second. Here we go. News.
That's very handy. That was on the fly. I give you enough crap, Rob Spiewak. I'll give you credit. That was fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
See, Mike, we don't want to interrupt the flow of the show.
Exactly. We don't want to go, maybe because I didn't do that. There you go.
It's been
6 years since we lost Robin Williams, and I've been doing a lot of reading about him lately. It really, really gets me every time I see him on screen. I was such a fan. Especially the fact that I've read recently that he was facing cognitive and motor control issues without knowing what was causing them. What a slice of hell for a guy that's given so much joy to so many people. After his suicide, doctors discovered that he'd been suffering from something called Lewy body dementia. His struggle is the subject of a new documentary called Robin's Wish, which is out now. Love to get somebody on to talk about this. Robin's widow, Susan Schneider Williams, likens what he was going through to being chased by invisible monsters. She says, quote, Robin and I knew there was so much more going on. Robin was right when he said to me, I just want to reboot my brain. In that moment, I promised him that we would get to the bottom of this. I just didn't know that it would be after he passed. Night at the Museum director Sean Levy said it was clear to everyone on the set of the third installment that something was off. Quote, Robin was struggling to remember lines and to combine the right words with the performance. Oh, God.
That's
for
tragic.
For a guy that had the fastest mind of anybody in stand-up ever. I can imagine what it must have been like.
His family's having a hard time, yesterday, selling his estate, like the home where he actually unfortunately took his life.
Really?
And because of the taboo attached to the suicide?
Yeah, that's what it seems, because it's been on the market for almost two to three years. And, wow. But then I put myself in that position. If I could, if I had the opportunity, it would feel... Even if I was the biggest fan in the world, it wouldn't feel right to buy a home.
Macabre a little bit to be like that.
Yeah. Fan or not a fan, it is macabre. That's the word right there. Mm.
So the director goes on to say, I saw his morale crumbling. I saw a guy who wasn't himself, and he thought that was unforgivable. Oh, man.
It's tough.
He was becoming paranoid, delusional. How horrible, and he didn't know what was causing it. So anyway, that's another documentary. I'd love to get the filmmaker on. We talked to them. The Kansas City Chiefs got their Super Bowl rings yesterday. It's a little brighter news.
Okay.
During a socially distant ceremony at Arrowhead Stadium. By the way, they weren't the only rings that were given out. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who is literally at the top of his world right now, he proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Brittany Matthews, and slapped a massive rock on her finger while they were doing that. As impressive as her diamond is, the Super Bowl rings are a little more blinged out than that. Here's what they got. They got the Chiefs logo made out of 60 diamonds, plus the team's two Lombardi trophies made of marquee-cut diamonds. 16 rubies to represent 10 AFC West Division titles and 6 playoff appearances under Coach Andy Reid. The design is surrounded by 50 diamonds to represent the 50 years in between Super Bowl titles. Man, that sounds like some kind of ring, right?
Yeah, incredible. Andy Reid got a cheeseburger made out of emeralds.
Rob Schmiewak, honors game, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Biden is 77, so it wouldn't be surprising to hear that he's marketing his campaign through lawn signs. But what is surprising is that we're not talking about real-life lawns. The signs are appearing in players' lawns on the game Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Mm.
In images online, characters that look a lot like Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris appear next to 4 different signs, a Team Joe sign, a sign featuring Biden's LGBTQ plus pride logo, and a Biden-Harris campaign image, one with red, white, and blue sunglasses.
That's great. There you go.
Way to go, Joe.
I got to remind Julie about that. She'll buy one of those. She's got all kinds of Animal Crossing dollars built up.
Isn't she? That's her game,
that
right?
Is
Doesn't
her game.
She like Animal
I've seen her play it since school started, but yeah, we've still got the little dock up on the TV upstairs. I'll tell her about that.
Make sure that she goes out and votes, please.
Of course.
Researchers at the University of Groningen. Researchers at the University of Groningen. Groningen. Of Groningen in the Netherlands found a direct connection between the amount of money people give away and how long they live. This sounds like a study that would come out of the sweet old Netherlands, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah.
They found that France and Japan have the longest life expectancy and the highest number of average personal money transfers. People in those countries share an average of almost 70% of their lifetime income. And they have mortality rates that are much lower than China or Turkey, where people share 44% or 48% of their lifetime income. And you don't have to give your money to strangers or to charity for this. Helping out your kids or other family members counts. So why is sharing your money linked to living longer? Quote, sharing generosity may reflect the strength of social connectedness, which in itself benefits human health and well-being and indirectly raises survival. In other words, by being generous, it gives you stronger social connections, and those make you healthier and happier, so you live longer. So there it is.
Mm.
That's I'm surprised the CBS Corporation didn't die years ago.
That's right. And a related note, Dan Snyder, still watching. On Sunday night, two pilots who were... I love this story. I can't get enough of it. On Sunday night, two pilots who were flying into Los Angeles International Airport reported seeing a man in a jetpack flying at 3,000 feet. This rocks.
Is it the guy from Super Bowl I?
I'm not sure. Or what's that movie? Was it Rocket Man? Wasn't that the story they had?
Also, that was the Michael Jackson. That was the Michael Jackson on a jetpack at the Super Bowl. He had that incorporated into his show as well.
Awesome.
You know what I've always wanted to try, but I'm probably too fat to do it? Always wanted to try those little snake things, those
Doc
Ock things that come out of the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you done that? Have you ever done that?
I have seen, not Shannon, but a good friend of ours do it, and it is You got to have extreme core strength because
it
doesn't matter what that thing's supposed to do. Because then what I like the fail videos that make people go like it's always like a guy in a dad bod that shouldn't be doing it.
Right.
And he's like going up and they go sideways and right into the drink sideways. Like
yeah, sideways.
Yeah.
And then I bet I know where you could do that, Mike. Baby,
let me take you. Oh, we didn't get to it. I watched it. Action Park.
Oh, my God.
We have to talk about Action Park tomorrow. Please.
So great.
I completely forgot to talk about Rob's recommendation. It was a 20. It was 20. Carla was like, Link, man, it's not. Carla's looking over me. Is it really that funny? I said, yes, amusement park idiots are funny until the end when it gets serious.
Right.
Oh. And it does get serious. Well, because the fun had to end sometime.
What about what made them bleed in the tube?
Oh, my God.
Don't spoil it tonight, please.
Oh, you're going to love it. Action Park.
And snakes. So these pilots, one's from American, one's from SkyWest. So these are legit pilots for big airlines who probably wouldn't be trying to pull a hoax. The FAA and FBI are both investigating. Besides the potential legal issues of flying a jetpack at that altitude and in a restricted airspace, an aviation expert says the guy was taking a huge risk. He said, quote, the risk is obviously having a collision with an airplane or the person getting ingested into an engine. That would be a bad way to go.
Charlie.
Charlie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And now, my favorite part of the show today. I'm sorry. A little something something. Police in Connecticut are warning residents to keep a distance from an aggressive escaped beefalo. A hybrid of a domestic cow and a bison. The Plymouth Police Department said the beefalo bull belonged to a Massachusetts farmer, and the animal escaped from a trailer outside the Plymouth Meats Processing Facility.
Oh, no.
And that's how it got out there, this scary beefalo. Residents are also advised to steer clear of any loose duckins, goat pigs, deer cats, or rattle rabbits. Thank you.
Rattle rabbits.
I ran out of, like, hybrids, you know. That's the cross between a rattlesnake and a rabbit.
So fast. Rattle rabbits.
Yeah. You know, if I had more time and left it out to the listeners, we'd have funnier ones. We got to take a break. We'll come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Say you're inspired by the promo of Matty Masiello rambling off the list of cheeses, and now you want to grill cheese yourself, but you also want to help out TMOS. Let me show you how you do it. First, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the button that says TMOS Shopping Center. Then click on Target. They got everything you need for this project. Bread, butter, all kinds of cheese. Swiss, mozz, provolone, whatever you want. Say you need a new frying pan or a spatula. They got it. Say you live in a Georgetown Spite House and you need a new hot plate. They got that too. And because you're fat, let's throw in a bag of Kraft Baby marshmallows. Now let me tell you, I got a Target Red Card, so they're kicking some money back to me. But more importantly, since you went to the Team War Shopping Center, they're kicking some money back to Mike. Got it? Good. Now let's go back to the guy who would adopt the Target dog if he could. Mike O'Mara.
There he is. Missed a few consonants, but other than that, pretty good.
Very urgent delivery. Urgent.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Are you thirsty, Kirsty? Want a beer, Guinevere? How about a shot, Dot? Dot.
Dot.
I don't think they're... Yeah, I know a Dot. I still know a Dot down here.
I had two mothers-in-law named Dot. Both dead.
It's a Dottie, not a Dot.
Okay. So, short for Dorothy.
But I'm
Dorothy.
Sure maybe the friends called it Dorothy. Dorothy. Want some bourbon, Keith Urban? Or some Vino Dino? We can't satisfy all of your alcohol-fueled needs because this Friday is the return of the TMOS Cocktail Party.
Yeah!
7 p.m. Eastern, a full regular show with the guys and the wives jet-propelled by alcohol. Hey, like the guy on the jetpack.
Right on!
Followed by the bonus show, which streams free, but streaming.
Oh,
streaming. But only once. Then it hides behind the paywall. So pop a cold one, join us. We may even take your calls at 888-920-MORE. Excuse me.
What was that all about?
That was Johnny Fastalot.
Mm. You know what
That's
that might
the
be?
17th
that might be
hour.
That might be your nickel allergy.
Thank you. Yeah, the tube hurts.
Oh, my tube.
If you want to call 888-920-MORE, that's the best way to kick off Labor Day. Here's a pro tip. You're the best bet.
Ooh.
What's that?
Your best bet, probably.
Oh, no. Here's a pro tip. You're the best bet. And it's got a question mark.
Oh, here's your best bet.
Your best bet.
Your best bet.
No, it's you're the best bet.
You're the best bet.
Well, that's
written,
a nice compliment.
You're the best. Here's a pro tip. You're the best bet? I'm just trying to read it like it's written. Here's a pro tip. You're the best bet? Subscribe to the bonus show at MikeOMaraShow.com. Unlimited access to every bonus episode of all time. We all have to stop sucking as much as we
do. I agree.
Yes.
Click the banner and Mike O'Mara, I guarantee it. And now back to that.
There. What was it supposed to be, just to clarify?
Your best bet.
Oh, okay. But it wasn't you're the best bet.
No. Okay. It was a mistake.
Just a little V added into it. You know.
Okay. Good to know.
Here's a pro tip. Your best bet. Yes.
It does.
I mean, you write a lot of stuff, Rob.
It sounds like be best.
I was probably between two different phrasings, and I just didn't correct it right. My apologies.
You're probably between two different cocktails, am I right, ladies?
That's right. No respect. I'll tell you what.
All right, take it away. Yeah.
I don't want to be political. I worry sometimes for the way people talk, and if there's problems in the inner government, because Laura Ingraham on Fox News ostensibly is a Trump supporter. That's a Trump-based network. He said something on Fox News yesterday that even she wanted him to back off on.
Oh, I know what it is. It's the golf. It's the golf thing.
No, this is about who's controlling Biden. It's so amazingly vague and over top. This is troubling.
I don't even like to mention Biden because he's not controlling anything.
Who do you think is pulling Biden's strings? Is it former Obama officials?
People that you've never heard of. People that are in the dark shadows, people that...
Oh, what does that mean? That sounds like conspiracy theory, dark shadows.
No, people that you haven't heard of. They're people that are on the streets. They're people that are controlling the streets. We had somebody get on a plane from a certain city this weekend. And in the plane, it was almost completely loaded with thugs wearing these dark uniforms, black uniforms with gear and this and that. They're on a plane.
Where's this?
I'll tell you sometime, but it's under investigation right now.
I'll tell you sometime. What? People you've never heard of in the dark shadows.
Sounds like your demented uncle at a cocktail party.
I watched it
except
a dozen
he's
times.
Sober.
Yeah.
You're like,
by
what?
The way, isn't thugs no longer acceptable?
I don't think that's as terrible as other words could be used.
Well, however,
a lot
with
of
him,
words aren't
you,
as terrible as other words.
That's true.
Like they said, what did Mamie Eisenhower say, is that it took me this long to get him to say manure. It's just, you know,
thugs
it's,
is better
it's him.
And then another, I would imagine other words the president would probably use out of the blue.
In
I
private.
Would expect, yes.
When he's like with Attorney General
yes.
Barr.
It's them, those guys that get on their
plane. I shouldn't laugh. It's serious them, time for
it's
our carry. I shouldn't
scary.
Laugh.
We got to vote. We got to vote.
Please vote.
Gotta early.
Please vote. Yep.
Stay informed. Like the Nuggets point guard, Jamal Murray, they're advancing to the next series of the playoffs. This is a great post-game interview with Jamal Murray because obviously he's not aware of how they've accelerated the season.
And the Clippers, we know, is going to be a rugged test. Between now and Thursday, what do you do?
We play Thursday? You get 2 days off?
No, it's Thursday.
Man, well, that's a bummer. No, we just got to move ahead. We got to sit for mentality. Let's go get another series.
All right, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but yeah, you got a game in a couple days.
He didn't know that he had 2 days off before the next game. He did not have 2 days off. He says, that's Thursday?
Everything is accelerated. And
yeah, listen to his surprise when it's revealed.
The Clippers, we know, is going to be a rugged test. Between now and Thursday, what do you do?
We play Thursday?
We play Thursday.
Isolate
that's so
that.
Little good.
Please isolate that.
That was
Thursday.
We play Thursday? That's funny.
You know those old, they're almost made of wire, like postcard racks that you would see that spin so you could buy a postcard, right? Like a display rack you see in the store.
Sure, I remember those.
Obviously, this one has not been oiled. This was trending on YouTube yesterday. When they spin it, it really sounds like the soundtrack to a horror movie. It's just a postcard rack.
There are Foley guys that will still run out and get that.
I know. It's just a postcard.
Chills.
I love it.
Oh, man, you could put some music in back of that and make a great horror movie soundtrack. I like that.
And congratulations to Snoop Dogg, who is releasing his own brand of gin. It's called Indago. It has 7 botanicals and the flavor of organic strawberries.
Perfect for your gin and juice.
Exactly. But Pony's the biggest gin head here. Pony, do you think strawberry has anything to do with gin? Is that a good idea?
I think we should stop going to him because this is what happens. I guess you're
right. Maybe he can get back to us via mail.
Thank you.
And we'll close with this, Mike.
That won't be a problem.
I love...
Trust me, that won't be a problem.
We play Thursday?
Thursday?
Yeah.
I love when a baby that doesn't know how to talk tries to really make a point. And this is a great toddler that I found on YouTube that is really emphatic trying to say something at bath time.
I don't know what you're saying.
And the child's name? Lou Holtz the Fourth. That's your magic audio goal.
Well, I don't get the rain man cold, but they're...
Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Don't forget, the fruitcake futures are...
Do it.
They're roaring right now.
Yes.
We don't want you to miss out, so order your fruitcake futures.
Time is limited. You got to do it now.
We do have a time frame on this, and we do want you to get them. And the earlier you order them, the more we can line them up for you and get them to you for the holiday season. And they are delicious. That's it. We got to get out of here. Don't forget cocktail party on Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Good morning!
What's the matter with you people? I was joking! Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
What? Well, I don't get the rain man cold, but
the best is yet to come.